What does God's word say about sin? Don't do it. That's what it says. It says to die to sin. It says to hate it. It says to flee from it. It says to run away from it. Lying, stealing, lusting, pride, sinning in anger. You know the list. And we can't claim ignorance of these things. It's all sin, and we confess the same as God's word, that yes, it is sin. I have sinned. I messed up. We admit and we repent.
Who opened your prison doors?
God.
Who dried up your ocean floor?
Aloha, and welcome to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Searle from Calvary Chapel Leeward Coast, located in Waianae on the island of Oahu, where the power of God's Word and the Holy Spirit is bringing salvation to the lost and discipling the saved. Now, let's study the Word of God.
Who came in the nick of time?
Last week, we went through verses 5 through 7. And in these verses, John has declared to the believers, remember now, he's writing to believers, people that are saved, that are born again, Christians. And he declares that God is light. And as believers, you and I are to walk in this light as he is in the light, to have fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And this is only possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And this is the truth. You see, this is what John is declaring. This is what John is writing about. The word that became flesh, he said, we beheld him. I heard him. John is declaring to the believer that God's light is pure, that it's righteous, that it's holy, that it's life and it's life eternal. And this is the fellowship that we are to walk in, not in darkness. John wrote about that. You cannot say you walk in God's light and yet you walk in darkness. That's impossible. The two cannot happen. And so we need to be in his light. And John is encouraging us in this. John explains that as believers in Jesus Christ, as we will see in the verses this morning, that sometimes we're going to fall short. Sometimes we're going to sin. It's not an excuse to sin, but we live in fallen bodies and we live in a fallen world and we have an enemy that's real. And all Satan wants to do is destroy your testimony, destroy your walk, destroy your marriage, destroy the lives of your children. That's all he does. And so in that, we have this battle that we contend with. And sometimes we fail. But when that does happen, we can still have fellowship with God and in his light and with one another. And so this morning, the verses is going to explain how this is possible. Please look with me at verse 8, 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to go into chapter 2, verse 2. John writes, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. In verse 8, John continues with the powerful two-letter word, if. If you notice, John has been using this word at the start of every verse, starting in verse 6 all the way to verse 10. And that's very interesting. You see, this word is a conditional particle in the Greek. So what it's saying is that if this, then that. You see, there's a result to your choices that you make in life. There's a result to the actions that you perform. This word presents a path, if you will, for each believer. You see, everything that God created is perfect. And in this perfection, He also created free will. And that's the choice, the freedom that you and I have every single day to choose. You see, I can choose every day to open my Bible and read it or not. I can choose to fall on my face every morning and pray and cry out to my God and listen to His voice or not. I can choose to swear at work so I can be one of the boys and look like one of the gang or not. I can choose to do things that don't glorify the Lord or not. And for the believer, this path bifurcates. It turns into two roads. You see, one that walks in fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, and one that walks in darkness. You see, that path, you reject the truth and you go astray and you become ineffective for God's kingdom because He wants to use you. And this is a choice that you and I have to make every single day. Joshua 24. Many of you know this passage. This is the end of the book of Joshua. They have gone into the promised land. They have conquered everything. God has given them victory over everything. They are now in the promised land. Joshua calls the whole nation of Israel before him. And in chapter 24, verse 14, he says to them, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth." He's saying, "Bro, don't be fake. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," he says, "we will serve the Lord." That's a choice. If this, then that. So John writes, if we say that we have, and this time he looks at the believer who thinks that they have no sin. And this is a very, very bad position for any believer to be in. If you remember, I talked about John is addressing the false teachings that was going around and circulating in the church during this time. And this is why he's bringing this up, because this was one of the false teachings that was going around. What is of the flesh is sin and sin. And you know what? It is what it is. But what is of the spirit is holy and righteous and pure. So if you want to sin or whatever, that's fine, because you know the Lord and your spirit is good and you're going to go to heaven. It was just craziness, all the false teachings that were taking place. They were denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All of these things. So that we have an understanding of why John is writing this. And as believers, we test everything, right? You all know that. I say that all the time. We have to be Bereans. In the book of Acts, when Paul brought the scripture to the people that were in Berea, what did they do? They said, "Paul, stay right there, bro. I'm going to go grab my scroll. I'm going to read God's word to make sure what you're saying is God's word. Because if not, we're going to punch your face." You see, that's what I expect from each and every one of you. Don't just take my word for it. You go home, you read God's word, and you make sure that what is coming from this pulpit is the truth of God's word. And so as believers, what does God's word say about mankind and sin? I'm glad you asked. Turn with me at Romans 3, please. Romans 3, verse 23. And then we're going to jump to Romans 5. So if you can stay there in the book of Romans, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all, by the way. All have sinned. Remember that. Turn with me to chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then look at verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, that's talking about Adam. When you get the chance, you read all of chapter 5 when you go home today. Because this is now talking about Adam. Sin entered through Adam. And it says, and let me start from the beginning. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. In verse 18, Romans 5, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, now it's just talking about Jesus, who was 100% man and 100% God, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You see, the natural state of our flesh is wickedness. Our flesh wants to sin. That's why we have this battle between the spirit and the flesh. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's talking about the heart that's in me, the heart that's in you. You ever stop and wonder, like, why, like, after you have an awesome session with the Lord in his word, praying, as soon as you pow, one stupid thought enters your head, and you're like, what the? Why? Now you know why. And this is what you and I contend with. This is the condition that we are born into, that we find ourselves in. This brings to light the condition of our flesh. And to those who say we have no sin, this is that same word, hamartia, that we talked about last week, which is a noun, which means missing the mark. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later because John changes and he uses another Greek word for sin. To those who say we have no sin, John writes, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. This word deceive, it means to lead into error, to be led astray. And the truth is not in us. The same word truth that was used in verse 6, aletheia. And this truth that John is talking about is what? Is that God is light. He's righteous. He's holy. He's pure. That Jesus is the Son of the living God. And that you and I are sinners in need of cleansing. That's what he's talking about. And notice that the believer is deceived. Right? The believer is deceived, not the church, not your husband, not your wife, not your children. Yeah, all those things do happen later on if you continue in sin, if you continue in this nonsense. But the believer is deceived. It's the individual themselves. You see, this is where it all starts and this is where it all ends. It's you. It's me. You see, I'm not going to stand before Jesus and have all of you guys with me saying, yeah, Jesus, yep, he belongs in heaven. It's just going to be me. Are you ready for that? When the master returns to his servant and he says, what have you done? What have you done with the talent that I've given you? This is on the individual. You see, what the individual perceives as truth. And here, it's that they have no sin, or whatever it may be for that believer. This is the path that they choose to walk in. That's where many Christians and churches find themselves today. They've gone off the beaten path. They are teaching things from the pulpit that's not even in God's word, and everybody is following blindly and saying, amen. No, 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 no. Be a Berean. But what they perceive is truth. This is what they're going to follow. And if their truth does not align with God's word, this invites deception and lies into their life. And as I mentioned before, it renders you, it renders me useless. Now God can't use you for his kingdom. Does that make sense? Because you're doing something that's out in left field. Do people still say that? Yeah, out in left field. When I was a little kid, yeah. But you're out in left field. What does that mean? You're not part of the team. That's what it's saying. You're all by yourself. Jesus gives an amazing example of this, how we can be deceiving to ourselves where we actually think that what we're doing is right when we are so far away from the mark. It's not even funny. In Luke chapter 18, I shared this with the leaders, this passage the other night. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, Jesus is speaking. It says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves. Please take note of that. That they were righteous. Please take note of that. And despised others. Please take note of that. Jesus says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, saying that he's praying this in his heart, but take note that the Lord hears all of it. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Notice he goes into the I. It's all about me. Verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That word means declared righteous, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Man, that's powerful. John is laying down some hard truths for the believer. And he says, you want to choose to walk in darkness? You want to choose to believe that you have no sin? And verse 6, he says that you're a liar, that you don't practice the truth. Verse 8, we just read, you're deceived. The truth is not in you. In verse 10, you make God a liar. Whew. Think about that. And his word is not in you. And these are all serious, detrimental conditions to your spiritual walk, to my spiritual walk. In verse 9, John writes, if we confess our sins, once again, hamartia, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John goes straight to the truth. And the truth is this, is that we are sinners. We all fall short. And as believers, we can choose to deny this and deceive ourselves that, like we just looked at and talked about, and continue to walk in darkness, or we can confess our sins. That's so good. When we come to the truth that you and I sin, that we fall short, the next step for you and I is that we acknowledge the sin, that we own it, that we call it what it is. Stop sweeping it under the carpet. Stop pretending and acting like it's nothing. It is. Do you know how cancer starts? It starts with one cell. One cell. That's it. One tiny little cell that is allowed to exist. Think about that. This word confess, it means to speak the same. And that's very interesting that John used this Greek word. To speak the same, as in declaring or admitting. And so this means to come into agreement with the same word that God spoke. That's what confess means. You are speaking the same thing in which God's word says about sin, about repentance, about forgiveness, about righteousness. And what does God's word say about sin? Don't do it. That's what it says. It says to die to sin. It says to hate it. It says to flee from it. It says to run away from it. Lying, stealing, lusting, pride, sinning in anger. You know the list. And we can't claim ignorance of these things. It's all sin, and we confess the same as God's word, that yes, it is sin. I have sinned. I messed up. We admit and we repent.
Who opened your prison doors?
God, God,
who dried up your ocean floor?
God, God.
You've been listening to God's Amazing Grace with Pastor Kaleo Sorrell of Calvary Chapel, Leeward Coast. Mahalo for joining us as we study God's Word together. If you're on the Leeward Coast of Oahu, our fellowship meets Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Thursday nights at 7. Wake up and come on out. We are located at 87672 Farrington Highway in Ma'ili. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelleawardcoast.com. Aloha, ahui ho, ma'alama pono. Until next time, may you know God's amazing grace.
How you know it was him? If you got a savior who broke your chains, if you got a maker who made a way, if you got a Holy Ghost in your veins, then praise him like you're not ashamed. Who opened your prison doors?
God, God.
floor.